Is anybody struggling this morning? I see a lot of happy faces. Nobody's struggling. Okay. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Father, this morning we can come before you because of the beautiful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray now, Lord, this morning for Okert, your peace will just come on him. You are the Prince of Peace, Lord Jesus. And you come and quiet all our thoughts, anything that we struggle with, every cycle of pain in our mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you come and heal it and break it now in Jesus' name. We release your peace on all our minds. Thank you, Father, for touching Orchid from the head of, from his head to his toes, to the sole of his feet. In Jesus' name. We take all our minds captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ this morning. And we declare that our hearts are soft ground that will receive your word and will reproduce it into others' lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So always when we're busy with the book, and it's a big book, the book of Acts, it's difficult how to start. We are already at the 10th chapter. This morning we're speaking about I am the resurrection and the life. From the story of Lazarus that you guys know well, where Jesus came late for the burial and Lazarus was in the tomb a couple of days already. And he said to Lazarus' sister, I am the resurrection and the life. Don't fear. I am the resurrection and the life. So this morning we're going to look at the Gentiles. Last week we looked at Dorcas that was raised from the dead. So literally the life of Jesus came into Dorcas and lifted her up. We looked at Ananias that was paralyzed. And Peter, when he prayed to him, he said, Jesus Christ heals you. And when he prayed for him, Ananias stood up and he walked. So the theme that we're talking about at the moment is the life of Jesus coming into people. And at the moment, we are moving from the Jewish church to the Gentile churches. This is us. We are the uncircumcised. According to the book of Acts, you have the circumcised, which is the Jews. You also had people that wanted to join the monotheists, the people that believe in one God. And that was the Jews. So sometimes you would have Greeks or Italians that want to join this faith. And they would have to be, the men would have to be circumcised. They have to, all the people, the men, women, children had to be baptized in water. And then they had to obey the laws of the Jews, the first five books of the Bible. Then they were allowed the privilege of worshipping in the temple. And they would be called Jews. So this morning we're going to look at a guy, Cornelius. This is the biggest portion. It's not easy to handle this portion. It's 77 verses. It is the biggest portion in the book of Acts. And I think because the reason it is the biggest is because it's so important that the life of Jesus, his resurrection life, broke out of the Jewish church, the first 10 chapters of the book of Acts, and it broke into the Gentile church, of which we are a part today. And this is critical to understand, that Jesus is for everybody. And Peter is one of the guys that struggled with this. Peter grew up in the Jewish religion. And his mother probably taught him to obey the law, to not eat unclean meat or unclean food, to go to the temple regularly and pray. In this portion of the scripture, as he was praying, and that's the first point I want to make, is in the habit of prayer. I think some of you guys did the school of prayer of Andrew Murray last year. Is that true? So there's a habit of prayer that we see in the life of Cornelius, and we see it in Peter. And when Peter was praying, I think it was the sixth hour, that's 12 o'clock in the afternoon, he was hungry, and the Lord used that hunger. He was probably fasting, that's why he was very, the Bible says he was very hungry. And we're going to read that portion of scripture now, just trying to give us some background. And in that, the Lord gave him a vision. The Lord opened his eyes to see a blanket or a sheet coming down full of unclean animals. And the Lord Jesus said to him, eat, kill and eat. He said, never, Lord. Not so, Lord. I can't do that. I was reminded of a scripture when Peter started following Jesus. And Jesus said to him, Peter, you're going to deny me. And he said this again, not so, Lord. Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times before my death. Here again we have Peter saying, not so, Lord. And Jesus is saying to him, Peter, what you call unclean, I'm calling clean. Don't call something common that I'm calling clean. And he was speaking about these animals, but he was also referring to the nations. Peter was thinking that the Jewish race was the only clean race on earth. And Jesus was challenging his mindset, his belief system. Jesus was changing his mindset and saying, what I call clean is clean. Not what you think or what you've been brought up to believe is clean. So let's start reading some of these scriptures. So we've covered some of these scriptures already last time. I'm not going to read everything. It's not possible to read 77 verses in one session. But you guys are welcome to go and read Acts 9, 10 and 11. It's homework, so we'll speak about it. I'll ask some questions next time. You're allowed to ask questions now. Next time I'll ask some questions. So for the guys, it's New Year this morning. You are allowed to ask questions and stop me. So it's not that I have to get through a bulk of verses, 77 verses, and there's no time to stop me. If you don't understand something, please ask. If I don't know, I'll ask yours. Yours must be my backup player.
I'll search Google quickly.
So the first point I want to make is the habit of prayer. If we first look at Cornelius, so we read all these scriptures, or most of these scriptures, in Acts 10 last time, but I just want to touch on some of them. Acts 10 verse 2, a devout man, this is now Cornelius, who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. Maybe just to veer off a little bit, last time we said, this is what you will call a good person. A goeie mens. Have you ever heard those words? A goeie mens. Goeie mense gaan nie hemel toe nie. Good people don't go to heaven. This is the... Here you can see a devout man who feared God. And yet, an angel came to him and said, at the bottom, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He's lodging with one Simon a tanner whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants. So in the next chapter, I was actually looking for it in this chapter, but in the next chapter he says Peter will come and speak the words of life to you. We looked at a man that is religious, but having a religion is not the answer. Having a Christian religion, even. Cabela, we spoke about that. Miss Cabela. Having a Christian religion is not the answer. A relationship is the answer. So even though this guy was very religious, the angel still said to him, you need to hear the words of life. I'll send Peter to you to speak to you, to tell you about the words of life. Can you guys hear me with this microphone? Or is it breaking up? Clear there at the back. Okay. So back to the habit of prayer. Verse 2, Cornelius prayed to God continually. So let's look at verse 30 and 31. I have to do it in this format, otherwise we're going to be paging in our Bibles the whole time, which is also good. It takes time. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago about this hour I was praying in my house. At the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. We see that he was praying. When I go back to verse 9 again, now we're with Peter. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. So we see there was a habit of prayer. Cornelius, which was our Italian, and last time Xavier is not here from the military, but the last time we said he's a centurion, he's over 100 men. Sometimes they had this like a division of 6,000 men, and they'll divide it up into 60 sections of 100 each. So we have a military guy here, Italian guy, not a Jew. So it's phenomenal that God is now, through an angel, speaking through to this Italian guy. So the first point is the habit of prayer. Second point, God speaks. And these things are so simple, but yet so powerful. I would pray every day, but not give God a chance to speak to me. How does that work? I just pray and pray and pray, but I don't become quiet for 1 minute to hear to what is God saying to me. We are in a relationship. God wants to speak to us. And these portions of scripture show that God is speaking. You look at Cornelius again, verse 3 and 4. So we looked at the prayer about the ninth hour. We read that just now. Of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. Verse 4. He stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? He said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended. God was speaking to him through an angel. Verse 31. And said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Do you realize how the scriptures are repeating? Same scriptures are repeating. This portion of scripture of Cornelius coming to the Lord is repeated 3 times in 3 chapters. That means it's important. Okay, let's go to back to Peter, verse 13. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. There came a voice to him, verse 13, verse 15. And the voice came to him again a second time. God is speaking, whether it's through an angel, whether it's through the Holy Spirit, but he is speaking. So this was the easy stuff. Now we're getting to the more difficult stuff. We've got to realize that there is gifts of the Holy Spirit that is working. Last time we touched on 3 gifts. When it comes to the resurrection of the dead, we see the power gifts of the Holy Spirit working. Gifts of faith, we said. We talked about healings, gifts of healing, different gifts. And we talked about gift of miracles. Today I want to speak a bit about the hearing and seeing gifts. And we see them operating here. Wednesday night we were praying here. A couple of us were together. Some of them are sitting here and they can testify. And the Lord just brought a spirit of prophecy over us, specifically over Gerda. And she started prophesying over everyone that was here there. Seeing pictures, hearing words. That's why I want to call these gifts I'm going to talk about now, the hearing and seeing gifts. The first one is the word of wisdom. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. It says to rightly handle the word of truth. You can have knowledge. You can know the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. It won't help you anything if you do not have wisdom. Wisdom is that ability to apply the truth correctly in your life or in other people's life if they ask you advice. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. One of the, can I call it the faces of the Holy Spirit? The signs of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sevenfold. One of those faces or signs of the Holy Spirit is wisdom. Another one is fear of God. But we're not going to speak about that now. Wisdom is also to walk in the fear of the Lord. To be an example to other believers. I didn't want to go here, but I think it's good for us to go to 1 Corinthians 12 that speaks about the gifts. So this is a topic that we sort of shy away from because it's been abused so much in the church. But because it is the Holy Spirit's gifts, it's important that we know what it is about. Romans 8 says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not do the desires of the flesh. So it's important that we walk with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read for us the first 10 verses of 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll just touch lightly on some of these gifts. Are you guys still with me? Any questions? I'm sure you know all this. But I'm going to keep on repeating it for myself especially, that I can walk in them. Not just know them, but actually walk in them. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I made known to you, made different to your Bible, this is the NIV that I'm reading from. Made differ slightly from your Bible. Therefore I made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There's another verse in 1 John 4 verse 1 that says, test the spirits whether they are from God. As I'm speaking here, you're supposed to test the spirit that I'm speaking by. He says, test the spirits whether they are from God. Every spirit that do not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is the spirit of Antichrist. And a little bit further on, Dolly, 1 John 4 verse 4, greater is the spirit that is in me than the spirit that is in the world. So he says the same here in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So that's a whole sermon on itself, those three verses. It talks about Romans 12 verse 6 to 8, different ministries. It talks about Ephesians 4 verse 11 and 12, five offices that Jesus has given to the church. And now we're focusing on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the manifestation, verse 7, The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So these two gifts work very closely with the word of prophecy. Word of prophecy, we will find that in church when somebody brings a word, a scripture is highlighted in his spirit, you will say, this is the scripture that the Lord wants to share. Or an encouraging word. So the test for prophecy is always encouragement, upliftment. For knowledge, the word of knowledge, the test will be joy. Joy normally runs with knowledge, the word of knowledge. Just want to finish this portion in 1 Corinthians 12 and we can go back to Acts. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another different kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So that verse means Morris cannot say, I have the gift of prophecy. Because this verse says, but one and the same Spirit works all three things, all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So only the Holy Spirit can work these gifts in you. And he will work it depending on the circumstance. He says, desire the best gift. But the question is always, what is the best gift? The best gift is the gift that is needed for that specific instance. Oka just now said he's struggling. So whatever gift is needed now for Orchid is the gift that the Holy Spirit will work. Not the gift that Marius has or Nsuku has. Holy Spirit has the gifts and he works it through as he wants to. Okay, can we go back to Acts? Any questions on the gifts? No questions. You guys just want me to finish preaching. I'm starting to enjoy myself. Okay, let's go on to the next point. We had the word of wisdom. Testing the spirits we touched on. Okay. Here's my mouse. I'm going to go into, carry on with Acts 10. There was something about the gift of faith that I wanted to demonstrate. Remember I said in the beginning that Peter will not go into a house of a Gentile. And the big reason was the food. So if I will go into the house of a Muslim friend of mine, it'll be fine. But for that Muslim friend to come into my house, it's a problem. Because I will offer him tea or I will offer him something to eat. And even just the dishes that has been used to prepare that food is not acceptable to a Muslim person, in this case to a kosher person, to a Jew. So even from childhood they've been trained not to go into a Gentile house because they will be breaking the law. Here Jesus is challenging Peter to go to Cornelius, into his house, eat the food that he offers him, and accepts the hospitality that's coming from Peter. That's why Peter was saying, not so, Lord. And Jesus says, go. And Jesus says to him, two places. Just want to find those places. Acts 10 verse 20. See if we can find it. And 11 verse 12. So Acts 10 verse 20. Jesus says, rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. Another translation says there, without doubting. So Jesus is helping his faith by saying go. This is a big struggle for Peter. But Jesus is assisting in his faith. And that's where the gift of faith comes in. When our faith runs out, it's a good thing. When you come to a place where you said, Lord, I cannot trust anymore now. This situation is too big for me. I've run out of faith. That's a good place, because it's exactly where the faith of Jesus starts coming in. And this is what's happening here. And we have it in 11 verse 12 as well. We repeat it. See how many verses there is just on this one topic. And the Spirit told me to go with him, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. Let's see if I got the right verse there. Yeah, I think the translation is just making no distinction. Also, the other translation was saying, the ESV was saying, not doubting. So he's just enforcing that, don't doubt, believe. And let's go back to 11 and just finish with the chapter 11. So, Peter has now been in this house of the Italian family. Everyone has come to the Lord. Like, while Peter was still preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on them. Exactly like in the beginning, in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit, Joel prophesied this. He said, my spirit is going to fall on all flesh. When they moved into the Gentile environment, into this Italian household with all the family and friends. Here's he preaching 5-6 verses. Holy Spirit falls on that Italian family. They all come to the Lord. All filled with the Holy Spirit. Start speaking in tongues. Now he has a problem. He hasn't checked this with anybody. When you hear something from the Holy Spirit, you get direction for your life. You just follow it. Kabela. Suku. It's always a good thing to check with your fellow believers. Together we have more Holy Spirit than just one. The collective Holy Spirit here is much more than just one in one of us. So if you get direction, check with your fellow believers. Let them also pray into it. Peter wasn't doing this. Jesus said to him, go. He didn't check. He wasn't in Jerusalem to check with the council that is in Jerusalem. He just went. So he's walking in faith. He's taking a leap of faith. But he's also at risk to be ostracized from the Jewish church, because I do not allow you to go into a Gentile house, Gentile believer's house. So now he's in Jerusalem. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. Do you see the issue? Not you preach the gospel to the uncircumcised. You went into the house. You went to his uncircumcised and ate with him. But Peter began and explained it to them in order. And here he relates again for the third time, we find it in Acts, the whole story of how it happened. Verse 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now here is his defense. He told his story, basically his testimony of what happened. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent and they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. You see that life has come into the Gentile church. Move from the Jewish church to the Gentile church. Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. So one thing that is critical that we saw here is that Peter had a mindset. We have mindsets. It's been influenced by our upbringing, our education, work environment, the mentors that we had in our life. It is those mindsets of us that Jesus is challenging. It's not easy to change a mindset. Jesus had to say to Peter, go. Jesus said, not so, Lord. He says, go. Without no doubting, just go. I want to challenge us this morning. If there's a mindset, we can't leave everything behind. Turn around and follow Jesus. We said repentance is Marius walking in this direction. Now comes God, calls me in that direction. I turn around and I follow the ancient path leading to God, where He goes. If I struggle with that U-turn, there's things that's keeping me down. There's mindsets that's preventing me, that's filtering this message and preventing me from doing that turnaround, that U-turn, and following after God. And it's those mindsets that we want to address this morning and pray for. That we can say like Peter, like Jesus said to Peter, go without doubting, no doubting, go. And we can listen. Peter went, and the gospel went from the Jews to the Gentiles. 2,000 years later, yet the gospel is still going.